This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual. Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Triple bypass. Gratefully acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nation. This land was never ceded and no treaty was ever signed, and this always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
To an office had used these down to your bones. And before I knew I had shiny skin and it felt easy being clean like him, I thought this one knows better than I do. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. He tried to cut me so I'd fit. And doesn't that sound familiar? So close to home, doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone, and doesn't that feel peculiar? When everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far. Could you leave me with a scar? So the next one came. With a bag of treats, she smelled like sugar and spoke like the scene. She told me, don't trust them, trust me. Then she pulled in my stitches one by one, looked at my insides, clicking her tongue, and said, this will all have to come undone. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. She tried to blunt me so I'd fit. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit so close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone. And doesn't it feel peculiar? When everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far. Could you leave me with a scar? Just in time, although my old self was hard to find. You can bathe me in your finest wine, but I'll never give you mine. Cause I'm a little bit tired of fearing that I'll be the bad fruit nobody buys. Tell me, did you think we'd all dream the same? And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone. And doesn't it feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far? Could you leave me with a scar? Could you leave me with a scar? Could you leave?
And that was the wonderful Missy Higgins, a bisexual icon, a bicon. And do you know why? Because it's 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night, and that means it's time for Triple Bypass. My name's James.
And I'm Anthony.
And you just heard Urban Dreaming, Joy's wonderful show about Indigenous affairs. And but right now, we're talking about the bisexuals and the pansexuals and the wahey.
Multigender attracted, bi-plus other folk, and insert label here. But we've got a... This is Midsummer, peoples. We're 20, Midsummer starts on the officially on the 19th of January.
You do not have to tell me that it's Midsummer because I barely slept last night. Not dealing well with the heat. But, yeah, it's also Midsummer with an A rather than an ER.
Right. And there's so much happening over the next few weeks. And if you haven't got your program, then you haven't got your shit together, basically, because we have got a couple of... groups and... events that we're going to be talking about on the show tonight that are connected to Midsummer, but also more broadly in the queer community.
Yeah, we've got a studio full of awesomely talented folks who are just here to chat about the work they're doing and the cool stuff that's happening in their communities, and it's going to be pretty cool. So stick around and chat with us. And if you want to join in the conversation with us, you can give us an SMS on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 joy 949, or send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
And if you want to catch any of our podcasts, as always, you can find us in the same place. It's joy.org.au/triple bypass,
or on iTunes, and I think we're on like Google Play or something.
Yeah, like us on iTunes. We have an amazing brand new podcast, I'm very proud to say. The Bi Polycast is up. We are talking about all things bisexual and polyamory and ethical non-monogamy on that podcast. So check it out.
I should probably do a little guest slot on that. I haven't done that yet, but I will.
You will, you will.
I'll appear.
Yeah. But we did interview Anne Hunter on one of our shows not that long ago. But
yes,
yeah.
So if you are interested in ethical ways of doing non-monogamy, that interview with Anne Hunter is on our podcast, so you can have a listen to it. And all of our past shows, going back almost 3 years now, we've been doing this for a while.
Right. Speaking of ethical, let's get straight into it. We've got some ethical guests in the studio tonight. Have you ever been described as ethical? I don't know. So
we try to be. It is a constant journey.
We've got, first, we have, I'm going to, Creatix Tiara. Did I get that wrong? I'm so sorry, Tiara. Tiara, you're performing for Midsummer. It's Radical Rituals.
That is not me. Radical Rituals is my glitter.
Queer Lady Magician.
Yes, that is I. Radical Rituals is also cool, but not my show.
That was a magic trick. I wanted you to make something disappear.
My credibility.
Anthony's dignity.
Tiara, you're in this year, so you're going to talk to us about Queer Lady Magician. It's playing at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent in Collingwood for Midsummer.
Yep, at the Studio Space in Circus Oz.
Yep, so we'll hear from you in a little while, James.
And Tiara is, I'll just read the bio here for a second. uses writing, performance, art, games, media, and anything possible to explore the personal and the political intersections of being a queer, outside the binary, immigrant, femme of colour with mental health issues. And this year, as the Queer Lady Magician, Tiara is taking all of that energy and putting it into stage magic.
Ta-da!
Sorry, you can't see, but we're doing the magic fingers. You know the wiggly magic fingers?
The magic fingers.
Magic fingers. And we also have Amau and Tony here with us, who are co-founders of the Melbourne-based Pacific... is Pacifica, is that a word I should use?
Yeah, that's a word.
people of Pacific nations, specifically an LGBTIQA plus organisation called Vika, for these folks. And I'm forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time this organisation is going to be marching in Pride as well at the end of Midsummer.
Community from the Pacific Diaspora, so it'll be our first, and we're so looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's fantastic.
Bit of history.
And you are also performing at Midsummer, is that right?
Yeah, there's about one performance for the Consent Festival and Gender Euphoria show.
Okay.
Amau is also on the cover of the program.
Yes.
Ooh, fancy.
Yes. Well, she signed my Midsummer handbook.
Because I know you.
Cover girl. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Midsummer.
Amazing.
So there is a lot going on for Midsummer. Stick around. We are going to talk to our guests about their shows. I mean... I'd love to get your thoughts on this because there's lots of different types of events coming up for Midsummer, and magicians are now appearing, you know, at Midsummer.
Yeah, apparently I'm not the first magician, which is slightly frustrating. Like, I asked Midsummer, is this the first time there's been a magic show at Midsummer? I'm like, no, Kat Jemsen has beaten you to that a while ago. Like, oh, damn.
And it's really great. And for my next trick, I will make gender disappear.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of the show, really, so yes. they have really not seen a non-binary magician before, so.
Yeah. It's really great because it, you know, they've really gone out to make it quite diverse. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a plus to see other communities get involved and, you know, go by the thing of being inclusive as well.
Yeah, that seems to be something I've really seen this year, especially that there seems to be, like, not only the inclusion of very diverse acts, but also Midsummer seems to be putting a bit of effort into really promoting these people and actually saying, hey, diversity is really cool and we've got diversity at our festival and isn't that awesome?
It is.
Which is lovely.
It is. How did you get approached for the show then? Because the quality, I think, of the shows and productions and spoken words and all sorts of things have improved. I think the quality is getting better. I think we're covering broader range of issues. We have more queer people of colour performing than ever. Mm. We've got more trans and gender diverse people. We've got lots of intersex conversations going on, more than ever. How did you get approached to perform for Midsummer?
So Queer Lady Magician actually debuted at Melbourne Fringe last year. It was part of the Women's Circus Still Arise Fringe Mentorship, where they give you some seed funding and a lot of development support to put on a show at Fringe. And this was my first time doing stage magic outside of school. It was like my biggest project to date. And the show went pretty well. And we've had like a smaller runs in events like Taint or Haunted Disco, like bits from the show. And then when it came to Midsummer, the people at the Melba Spiegelton were really interested in hosting it for Midsummer. We had our fringe run at Gasworks, so like, we'll talk to us when Midsummer comes. And then I got accepted for the Midsummer Pathways program, which is a new mentorship program for LGBT artists with disabilities. And as part of that, besides you get like a few all-day workshops around arts and arts business and so on, and you get a mentor. Interestingly, my mentor is Maud Davey, who is also directing Gender Euphoria.
Oh, wow.
Which Amar was in. She is great, but also, God, it's like, I'm a tiny sensitive potato. But no, she's great. I'm learning a lot from her, even though it's like hard work. But yeah, but part of it's also that we get free registration for Midsummer. And so it's like, this is relatively risk-free. Why not give it a go? And they help promote like the show as well. It's like part of the Pathways program, but also like the Midsummer social media team have been like really great. Even when for a week last week, some dude named the Incredible Chadbury, who looks a bit like my assistant Chad, who's a white guy and therefore the only way a white guy should be on a magic show, he just took over like the Midsummer site for a week and took over all my socials about how he's the most incredible magician ever. Like, ugh. But they were very patient with that, and I appreciate it. It's my show!
And Tiara has also been doing a bit of DJing for us tonight, has selected some songs, some unusual but really interesting songs. Now, can you tell us a little bit? We're about to go to a song, a little break, but can you tell us about We Are Smug's Hot Tub Blues?
Okay, so one thing people who know me for a while know about me is that I am the biggest Darren Hayes fan.
Oh.
I have been a fan of Savage Garden since I was like 12. They are the reason I do anything artistically. So Weird Smug is a project that Darren Hayes did that was released for like a day on his birthday. It's like this secret album. And then he released it properly later, like a couple of years later for everyone to find. And there's a song in there called Hot Tub Blues, which is like this kind of jazzy number. You don't even recognize his voice in there, but it's my favorite song. And then he performed this song in his last tour in Brisbane in 2011 was when I saw it. And he has this incredible jacket on. And me and my partner at the time are both big fans of him and also big fans of this song specifically. So we're singing our hearts out. Everyone around us is like, how the hell do you know this song? And ever since I saw that jacket, I was like, I want to do a cosplay of this jacket, even though I barely know how to sew. already 2019, geez. When I was part of the Taylor Mac project, Taylor Mac 24 Decades in 2017's Melbourne Festival. I was one of the Dandy Minions. So, you know, this big group of like fancy half audience, half stage people who are supposed to get like a zillion costumes together. I was like, this is the time to make this jacket. And so me and my friend who helped me with construction made this cosplay jacket. this really spangly, this tailcoat with so many details, took me a month to sew by hand, my poor hand.
The Darren Hayes jacket,
and that was original Taylor Mac. And then when Queer Lady Magician started to become a thing, the first thing I knew was this was my magician's jacket. And so I wear it in the show, people associate the jacket with me, and it's all because of dying love for Darren Hayes.
Well, we're going to have a listen to Darren Hayes' jacket song.
Darren Hayes' jacket song. Yeah, so everyone who's like, your shiny jacket, where's it from? Ta-da.
So if you'd like to join in this chat about all things Midsummer and performance and magic and public speaking and gender and lack thereof of gender and all that sort of stuff, flick us an SMS 0427JOY949 or an email onair@joy.org.au. We're going to be back in just a minute. Have a listen to some Darren Hayes.
From Melbourne to the world, hi, this is Margaret Cho. Are you supporting the voice of the LGBTIQ community? Call now 1-300-JOY-949 and become a member or renew your membership now and tell them Margaret Cho sent you.
Didn't sound like a typical Darren Hayes song, did it?
No, it didn't, but I enjoyed that.
It was rather awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tiara.
It's very boppy. I was feeling boppy in my chair.
You were on Triple Bypass.
You should look it up on YouTube where he performs it. He does this, like, chair dance to it. It's amazing.
You were listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. My name is James.
I'm Anthony.
And we're chatting with Creatrix Tiara and Mao and Tony about their midsummer shows and all the stuff around their midsummer shows and all the awesome work that they do and... Welcome.
So, Amal, tell us that you're involved in a couple of very specific events at Midsummer. Which ones are they?
It's the Consent Festival, which is happening that starts this Saturday, and it's an all-day event, and then there's an after-party as well. And so Consent Festival, then there's the Gender Euphoria show that I'm involved with. And then I've got my own group that will be marching for the first time in Pride March, so it's quite big for us.
You're keeping busy then?
Yeah, busy. I try not to, but yeah, busy. I said I'd do one thing and next thing you know, you're doing five things and getting called to do favours.
It's hard not to, especially for midsummer. And Gender Euphoria's got a very, very good, there's a lot of expectation around this show. It's sold out.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of focus on what's going on there. So you excited about that?
I'm really excited. The group of people that are involved is a collective group of performing artists and writers. So in the show, there will be dance performances, cabaret-ish performances, people performing monologues. And so the group that's come together, collective group that's come together, have just been a wonderful, just an amazing bunch of people to work with. It's just been so stress-free. And we've had the lovely Maud and Maud Davey and Mama Alto running the ropes there.
Wow. And what's the sort of general gist of the show? Like, what's the theme that ties the whole thing together?
It's kind of looking at gender diverse in a more positive light, so celebrating who we are. There's so much, negativity that transgender diverse people succumb to. And so it's a different take. It's more of a celebration, the fact even in the title, the euphoria, so being able to celebrate that.
Because it can be challenging, kind of. I mean, because as bisexuals... we know that, you know, a lot of the stats around bisexuals are quite bad, like as far as mental health outcomes and that sort of thing. And it does sometimes feel like you're just talking about negative things all the time. And it is nice to sort of go, hey, actually, being this person, being this sort of person and belonging to this community is actually really awesome. There are challenges, sure,
yeah,
but it's great.
Definitely. And just the stories that are told, the performances that are told are actually told by people who have got first-time experience. You know, it's seeing stuff from our eyes, our narratives, and I think that's a great thing to have as well. And it's, I think we're creating history. I think it's, Mama Alto was saying it's the first trans full cast that's put on a performance here in Melbourne. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Remarkable. And so about time. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful. And we're having it at the Arts Centre, and we're very fortunate to have it there. It's only a pity that it's only been one night, but we're very fortunate that it's sold out. So that's quite amazing as well.
Speaking of making history, Amal and Tony, we are talking about... You were talking about marching for the first time at Pride to represent a group. It's a Melbourne-based Pacific Islander LGBTIQA+ organisation. Tell us about VICA.
Yes, no, definitely. We're really excited. So VICA basically stands for... it's half of Victoria is the VI part, and Pacifica is the KA. So that's where we're representing the Pacific Island community here in Victoria. We're really excited because, I mean, me growing up, there was never really a space, you know, and we'd go into LGBTI circles, and we never really found, you know, spaces where Pacific Islanders were sort of represented. But we're so close to Australia. We're like the next door neighbours. Oh, yeah. So we're really excited. We start off as a really small group with, you know, working with Amar and a fellow, you know, our fellow co-founders, and it started to grow. We've got people coming from Sydney and from... interstate and overseas just to march, and we're just a walking group, you know. We don't even have a float, so we're really hint
this is Melbourne. Melbourne Pride March. We don't really do floats.
Yeah Well, that's the thing, you know.
we just walk down the street and wave. We're very Melbourne. We're not Sydney. Melbourne,
but you know,
just walk down the street and wave.
But it's the excitement, you know. It's like the march, and it's about getting so excited about, you know, wow, this is the first time. And we're trying to go into like world pride, you know, level of trying to march. But we're excited. We have some really great costumes and colourful things. And so we're just happy to be part of it. So, yeah, that's pretty much what we're kind of looking forward to.
And it's just for us, it's just being able to connect our community because, you know, we're a small community, but, you know, geographically, it's just trying to outreach to our own young people out there as well. And so within Pacific Island culture, within Samoan culture, we value the thing of family. So looking beyond blood. And so in terms of our group that's marching, we've encouraged other people to come forth and come into the group.
And family choice is something that we talk about often in the queer community. And the queer community generally tends to be about really white queer politics and white queer spaces. Mm. So this is amazing that we have a, you know, Pacific Islander, trans and gender diverse queer group that will be marching and providing an ongoing space for gatherings.
We've just gotten incorporated, and so we're looking at doing long-term projects for the community as well. So you know, there's an educational purpose behind what the coming of us together, but we felt it was really necessarily for our own young people to know that they'll be, you know, supported and encouraged, because they said it's just something that we felt needs to happen.
Mm. And it's a wonderful example as well. I mean, I know that in Melbourne, of course, the LGBTIQ plus community is fairly white dominated, but I think it's a great example of how as sort of white people, we can like actually just sort of go, you know, rather than sort of trying to do the representation ourselves, we can just say, look, here, we're just going to make space. We're going to back up and let you express it in your own way and form your own organization the way you want to, and like basically amplify you without trying to control or define your message.
Yeah, it's been great that when we started last year, we had our allies that have come forth and wanted to support us. It's been quite stress-free, and it's, you know, we've had non-Pacific Island people want to come and support us and just lend us a hand in any way they can. So just to be able to engage those relationships and that thing of working for the betterment of the community. What we bring to the table is our cultural identities as well. As Samoan, we have a term called whawhawhine, which is, it's a layered term. So in Samoa, we don't have a term that is for bisexual, transsexual, gay, lesbian. It all basically comes under the one umbrella. And so that actually works in our favour because, you know, here it's a lot more of a struggle. I think it's the thing of being colonised as well. Whereas back in Samoa, you have, you know, people that would be technically considered non-binary, and it's just great the way that our own culture, our own people in Samoa embrace us quite warmly. So, you know, we tend to laugh at everything. It's not like they're laughing at us, they're laughing with us. So, you know, we bring that, and that's quite a unique thing to bring into white spaces. You know,
so we're talking with Amau and Tony and Tiara, who are all doing amazing stuff around midsummer, talking about gender and being trans and people of colour and all sorts of awesome stuff. We're going to go to another song. This is another one chosen by Tiara. This is, I've never known how to pronounce this. Is it Toto
Coelho? I have no idea.
Coelho, whatever. It is one of the weirdest hit song, weirdest one hit wonders of the 80s. It's a song called I
Like
Cannibals.
Your taste. Yeah. This song, someone, a friend mentioned it on Tumblr when I was working on the show. And I was like, I vaguely remember the song. I watched the video. I was like, this is my aesthetic. This is the show aesthetic. Weird 80s.
So if you want to know what queer lady magician at Midsummer
looks like,
what the aesthetic is, before
and
you
sort of sounds like, yes.
Yeah, before you go, then have a look at the video for this.
Ooh, can't wait for this.
Yeah.
That was Toto Suelo, maybe. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I Ate Cannibals. Possibly the most 80s song you'll ever hear.
I was doing The Robot. Remember The Robot in the 80s?
No, I wasn't born then.
This is Triple Bypass. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We have a very boisterous studio full of very creative people with a lot of awesome things to say about sexuality and gender and all sorts of stuff. And I'm James.
And I'm Anthony. And Tiara, Queer Lady Magician, is playing for Midsummer. Are we going to hear some funky tunes like that in your show?
Oh my God, trying to get like a custom track for this show has been money. But there are theme songs. There's a couple of very fun theme songs. You'll just have to come to the show and find out what they are.
So without any spoilers or giving anything away about the show, what's motivated you about this particular performance? Tell us what you can about this show.
Right, so I loved stage magic as a kid. It was my first childhood passion. I had so many books. I had all of these collections of tricks and tools, and I would do a lot of magic. Like, my first ever live show was David Copperfield. I was a huge fan. And then when I was about 14 or so, I tried to do a show for school, and it bombed. And I grew up in a culture of, like, well, if you failed once, just give up. Don't bother. So I just dropped it, and I had, like, other talents, other interests, so left it alone. And then in the past, like, couple of years ago, I was feeling like I was missing magic, but I didn't quite know what to do with it. Never really looked into it. Like, I did, like, meet a mentor, and her story is in the show, about who is this older queer trans lady who's also a professional magician, and she got my love of it back. And the full story's in the show, but, you know, we lost touch for a little while. And then, like, I was thinking about getting married to magic last couple of years. I thought, hey, what if I did this queer lady magician thing? Because a bunch of my friends were also talking about it. Like, we never see any magicians that are not straight cis white guys. Then I'll talk to them about how I loved magic as a kid. Like, please do the thing. So I did. So I was like, who wants me to do queer lady magician? 1,000 zillion likes. Everyone's like, okay, fine, I will do the thing. And then I applied for a woman's circus, and they said yes, and then I had a meltdown for 2 weeks because I'd never done a full show before.
I believe there's a bit of a story behind the name, because although you do identify as queer, you don't identify as a lady, correct?
What I identify as is a never-ending question.
Love it.
It's
love
like
it.
Words just do not fit. Like, you know, like, I feel like with gender especially, it's like non-binary kind of implies something very specific that I don't necessarily fit. But also, like, growing up in Malaysia, they have a very strict idea of what gender roles are. And I don't fit into that either. Like, the only constant about my gender is that nobody ever gets me right on the first try. And so it's very, like, gender, fluid, what is even? And that's actually in the show a little bit. I get interrogated about my gender and I go, shrug emoji?
when we were doing preparation for the show, we did ask around the studio for everybody's pronouns, and Tiara's pronouns are Tiara, I believe.
Yeah, that's my name. Well, I mean, you know, people use she or they, you know, it's fine, but like, Tiara's the only word that really encapsulates everything.
But I like how you hold the space to sort of remain, and you didn't use this word, undefined. You talked about not, what did you say? You said something where it's not sort of, you know, it isn't something that's fixed, right?
Right, yeah, it's very fluid, it's very
situation dependent. And this comes out in your show, you said. Your show is making a bit of a statement about gender diversity?
Yeah, it's making a lot of statement about identity, really. Like, you know, there is the magic part of it, you know, in terms of putting a contemporary spin on classic magic. For example, my signature trick in the show is the Captain Balls trick using menstrual cups. Because male magicians can say sleazy things on stage, but will they talk about menstruation? Oh, hell no. But, you know, but there's also like this story about my journey with magic and imposter syndrome and feeling like a failure and feeling and my conflict about manipulation and traumatic experiences, but also like a lot of, you know, discussion and or acting, I guess, around identity and people's perceptions of me based on what they think my identity is when they see me. Like, there's a whole sequence in the show where there's a quick change section. And traditionally with quick changes, the female performer usually is like changing into different costumes in seconds. It's all glamorous, shiny cocktail dresses. But in our version, it's at airport security and all the, and all all the costumes are something related to some aspect of my identity. So there's a sari, there is a hijab because I grew up Muslim. You know, there's something I'm calling Fitzroy hipster, which is the gender bendy part. And you know, there's all different ones. And then I get interrogated based on what I'm wearing at the time. And wow. So it's like using this like traditional act where the performer does this talk to the performer has a voice now, and she's very salty about it.
It sounds amazing. It sounds like there's some intersections there with all sorts of politics, like race and judgments and gender and...
The show is pretty much like social justice station magic.
Right. SJW, social justice wizard.
Social justice witch.
Well, it is playing at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent studio... at 35 Johnson Street, Collingwood, from the 30th of January to the 3rd of Feb.
Yes.
And tickets are still on sale?
Tickets are very much still on sale. Come by. If you missed it, if you saw it at Fringe, we've changed a few things. So come by and see it again. And if you're one of those people who are like, oh my God, I wanted to see it at Fringe, but you told me this the day after the show ended. Oh, I need to see it again. Here's your chance.
Put your money where your
mouth is. This is why we're doing a second season. It's for all you people who are like, oh, I forgot. Don't forget.
We've had a couple of messages in too. LR, I don't know who LR is, but LR, hey team, I can't tune into the show tonight, but I just want to say that I really enjoyed the two podcasts, in particular the one about the play. Have a wonderful midsummer. Best wishes, LR. So thank you, LR. I hope you hear this call out when you're listening to the podcast of this show, which will be online very soon.
We have another message. Amazing program tonight. Thank you to the guests for coming on and sharing your stories. Also enjoying the podcast. So thank you. That's
thank you.
From Anonymous. We have one more message from Ash. She says, lots of love to all the bi babies out there. Oh, my God, I just heard the bi podcast on attachment theory. This is gold. We need more. Thank you for that, Ash.
Thank you.
We're on Triple Bypass. This is the midsummer season. We are talking to some amazing performers who are doing all sorts of amazing things for midsummer.
And, you know, it's definitely midsummer, proper midsummer, because you may have noticed... slightly more Melbourne than usual soundtrack. You can actually hear trams on the radio through our microphones. That's because we've got the windows open because it's a little warm in the studio. Yeah.
An oppressive evening.
One oppressive evening. And, so we've been talking to Creatrix Tiara about Queer Lady Magician, but we're also chatting with Amau and Tony, who are also... Amau is... you're in a show which sounds amazing, but unfortunately is sold out. but yay! I mean, that's great news.
Well, it would have been great to have another, like, because I just think it's incredible to bring the group that we've got that's involved in the show. Mm. So we're hinting Maud and Mama, if we could have another show, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yes. No pressure.
No pressure.
Just do like a secret pop-up somewhere.
We could do a flash mob. That would be great.
Yes, but the magic.
Magic. I'm here.
I just made an entire additional Midsummer show appear.
Ta-da!
But that's
maybe conjure up some money.
But that's a very good... a good bit of leverage if at least next year, just to sort of go, hey, it sold out really quickly. Let's do it again and put on more nights.
Yeah, we've had really good support, especially from the Melbourne Arts Centre, who've taken care of the publicity. And a little secret, just a very special secret that I can share with you and you only. They're gonna light up the tower thing in the trans colours.
Oh, that's wow. Fantastic. The Arts Centre.
I'm not one to gossip, but you didn't hear that from me.
That's amazing.
Wow. That'll look beautiful. The Arts Centre spire is going to be pink and blue and white.
Yeah, so that's pretty
lovely.
Special.
So how did the whole Arts Centre thing happen? Because that's really quite prestigious. Were you a little shocked when you first heard that was going to be your venue?
That actually came through Maud and Mama Alto. They were workshopping this as a potential performance to put on, and they got the funding, and it was just the go from there. And so, knowing their networks and who they know, they were able to network in with and come to some agreement with the people from Melbourne Arts Centre.
Because it lends a degree of you know, I suppose acceptability, like respectability, really. It's like, you know, the fact that, you know, the Arts Centre has, you know, looked at the content of your show or the pitch for your show and said, yes, that's the sort of thing we want to have at the Arts Centre. I mean, that's a really huge. Positive thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's quite huge. Even just the publicity around it and that what we've got from them, you know, working their magic from, you know, the people from Melbourne Arts Centre has really been quite huge. So we're very grateful and very over the moon with it, and that other things have come from that, you know, being asked to, being booked to do other events as well. Personally myself from that show. So yeah, it's just been great,
and it's amazing as well because it means that people who aren't likely to normally, you know, pay attention to sort of independent shows and festivals for specific communities like the, you know, the queer community and the trans community, but do pay attention to what's happening at the Arts Centre, they'll go, oh wow, this is something I haven't seen before. And that's just exposing stuff to a wider community.
That exposure and that publicity, especially for trans community, especially for someone like myself to have a trans person of colour, you know, especially for my community, that's huge. But I just, you know, it's who comes after us, that they, you know, that they be able to have these platforms and people actually go out and approach those, that, you know, the people that come after myself and go, you know, and want to be interested in telling their narratives.
So you're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night, talking about all stuff bi, but specifically all stuff Midsummer and transgender and non-binary and just messing around
and
with gender.
Gender
and all
dependent
kinds of
on
ways.
The situation.
Yes.
I like that.
I am the living embodiment of gender as a social construct.
Lovely.
So, Amal, how did you get into performance? I mean, you have a background in education and health and community work and that sort of thing. How did performance come into your life?
I think as Samoan, as a person from the Samoan diaspora, we're brought up in church. So singing is just a thing that you just learn, and then the dancing, and those are two things that are quite big in my culture. And so they kind of, in terms of Samoan people, Pacific Island people, we love to perform. We love our music, and our dancing is quite integral to who we are. It's our identity. So those things kind of, I just feel, come quite naturally with Pacific people. We love that thing of entertaining. And so being able to, my take on it when I do my stuff is being able to use the platform to highlight my own experiences as a trans person, as a whawhawhine, growing up here in Australia, because it's a whole different take. You know, there's a different take, like for Tony. Tony had experienced it in Samoa, whereas myself here, it's been a lot more challenging. And so that's the way I've used performance, is being able to tell my story and tell my narrative and bring that to the forefront so people can go, oh wow, there's a whawhawhine, that's quite different from the normal
representation.
Yeah.
And Tony, can I ask you as well about the is the Vicar Group a platform for you then to talk about your story and to represent and to encourage other young queer folk who might identify as, you know, having a Pacific Islander background as well?
Well, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think it's the space is, the goal is just to create that space for anyone from the Pacific. We've got, I guess, different barriers than other sort of communities. And for us, it's just having a space, just in general. And for some people, that might not be a big thing, but for us, it's just having a place to be able to share, you know, your creative you know, outlets and different things like that. So we are looking at some really creative programs throughout the year, and like Amal had mentioned earlier, our focus is more on just celebration. It's not about, it's nothing nothing political, nothing, yeah, nothing in that sort of area. It's more
white
just
queerness. We like to politicize everything,
yeah,
don't we?
Well, yeah,
we forget to have a laugh, like you were saying.
Yeah,
we laugh at everything,
but it's not about that. It's about, look, we know who, you know, we want to celebrate who you are as a person, and that's it, you know, and whether we can hold on to our culture and different things that that make us who we are throughout that process, and that's a win for us. But it's just about creating that space. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
How often will Vika meet? Where is the space that they can actually physically come to connect with you both?
Okay, well, normally we, at the moment, we normally have it every fortnight. So it's just to get people to engage in it. Otherwise, we thought if we don't do it regularly, then people are going to... And so we're kind of at our early stages. But the response that we've got back has been great, especially on our Vika Inc. Facebook page. And one of the things that's come out strongly is that, you know, the information that we put on there is being shared by other people, and it's not necessarily Pacific Island people, which right. is great, because we want to engage with all communities, you know, and be able to have that space, that, you know, create safe space.
Right.
I guess what the question, just to sort of answer the question about space, we're looking at releasing the list of our sort of timetable where we're going to meet. We're working with Siteworks, which is out in Brunswick, and they're just, you know, just trying to work out our schedule from there. But Siteworks and the Black Dot Gallery and Kimber out there have been really supportive, and so we'll be sort of working around, working in that space, in that area, so looking forward to that.
Yeah. Lovely.
Now, if this is a bisexual and pansexual and all of the multi-gender attracted people show, we love talking with people who are from all over the rainbow spectrum, but if you are bisexual or pansexual or multi-gender attracted of any kind and you'd like to step out and be proud with us, the Victorian bisexual community will be marching together at Pride on the date.
That's the 3rd of February.
3rd of February, there we go. I've got all the other details in front of me, but I forgot to have the actual date. Now, and I've had a look at the weather. The long range looks like it might be pleasant weather, which is nice, because last year it was not.
Last year was hot.
Oh my God.
But if you would like to march with the bisexual community, this is the Victorian Bisexual Alliance Victoria and Melbourne Bi Network teamed up to make a single big group for all the bisexuals, because if we had to choose which group we were going to march with, we couldn't have done that because we're bisexuals. Come on.
we just can't choose.
But we will be in, so write this down, we're in Wave F. We're in Wave F. We're going to be in position 3 in Wave F. We're going to be marching very close to Transgender Victoria, the Shed, Vixen Collective, the wonderful sex worker support organisation. Lots of awesome stuff. So we're going to be in specifically Diverse Genders and Sexualities group, which is all of Wave F. So we'd love you to come and join us and march with us. Or if you are somebody of a Pacific Island descent, you can march with Vika for the first time. I mean, this is the first time this group's marching, which is wonderful. And wasn't it great? I don't think it was last year, might have been the year before. Muslim cleric marched at the front of Pride Parade.
Okay,
that was amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like I do like the fact that Midsummer and Pride have clearly putting effort into sort of going, let's shake this up and make it more diverse and add more diversity to this.
Do you know where in the queue you are?
I think we're Wave H.
Number 12.
And advocacy group.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the Liberal Victoria behind us.
Oh, yeah. God, why?
Oh, the game. No. Okay, no, you've got Vika really well. Yes, Vika is in Wave H, position 12. With Squat in front, Subtle Queer Asian Traits Group.
They actually did a bit of them. Oh my God,
and,
I am impressed.
And behind Vika is VGLRL, who do awesome work. And
hello, fellow squatters. I'm a member that is this group. I am so impressed that they made a Pride march thing. Oh my God.
So Tiara, are you? Who are you marching with at Pride?
Apparently now Squat is there. Like,
so you march with Squat?
Apparently no. Hey, well done.
And yes, the end of Wave H is Liberal Australia.
So Tiara, let's just bring it back to your
silence.
Let's just bring it back to your show for the Queer Lady Magician. What is if there's a message that the audience will leave this performance with? What message do you want them? What's the thing you want them to notice most about your performance and this production?
Oh, that's a very good question. I mean, story-wise, the big theme is that failure doesn't need to mean the end. Like, the show is a lot about overcoming the fear of failure and all the trauma and the self-doubt that can come with doing something a bit outside your comfort zone. But like in general, like the concept of Queer Lady Magician, which I hope extends beyond this show into like other sequels or other pieces and such, is that, you know, there's so much possibility for stage magic to really give us a different idea of how the world can be. And I think those of us in the wider queer and trans community live that day to day, in just changing the way people think about the world just by our existence, let alone like doing activism or like Vika or like the different shows we've highlighted, like underrepresented voices. And it's a shame that stage magic hasn't been used for that purpose so much, given the potential for it. So I just want people to think about, find a way to connect to stage magic in a way that maybe all the other straight cis white guy magicians did not allow for. Here is one thing you can hold on. It's like, here is, you know, a lot of people loved magic as a kid, you know, and a lot of people might have faded out because like, same old magic all over again. But I want to give this opportunity for people to like, hey, here's this art form we both enjoy, but in a way that you find more relatable.
Stage magic is a bit of a sausage fest, it must be said.
It is very much a sausage fest.
Hey, it's Queer Lady Magician. It sounds amazing, and I think everyone can relate to imposter syndrome and fear of failure and all those themes. So it sounds amazing.
Thank you.
and also we're hoping that there'll be another show added to a Mal show. I'm sorry.
Gender Euphoria?
Gender Euphoria. Went out of my head. Yes. That's gender amnesia from me.
Such a mood.
We're all of these creatures. Right? We're bouncing off the walls in the studio tonight, folks. So for the listener, really you can't see the vibes, but there's lots of vibes going on in the room tonight.
Our brains are cooking. Now, we're just about to wrap up, but you should definitely stick around because Local Roots Summer Session is going to be coming up next. This is a fill-in show for Local Roots. Lots of really cool Aussie music. So stick around for that. And I think it's just time to say thank you to our wonderful guests, and then we'll be about done. So, Creatrix Chiara, thank you for selecting songs for us.
Thanks for having me.
And Amal and Tony from Vika.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming along and spending your time. If you've just caught the tail end of this and you'd like to hear the end of it, check out joy.org.au/triplebypass in the next few days. The podcast should be up really soon, and you can also listen to our previous ones. We've also got a special series, a limited series, podcast-only series about polyamory that Anthony's doing, which is amazing.
Get on a Facebook, the Vika group.
Yes.
Vika Inc. And where do they go for tickets for the...
You can look up Queer Lady Magician on the Midsummer website, or you can go to queerladymagician.com.
Just Google Queer Lady Magician.
Yeah,
just
pretty
much. As we've established, there aren't many of those.
No.
There'll just be one. Google will just... just one result and nothing else. And then the sound of crickets playing over your speakers.
Or I eat cannibals.
Thank you for coming on. Hey, happy Midsummer, everyone. Happy Carnivals Midsummer. This Sunday. Get there this Sunday.
I'm going to be performing at the Picnic Stage at the Carnival too. So you want a sneak preview of the show?
Great.
And find some air conditioning. Try to get some sleep as well. Because Midsummer is much more fun if you've had some sleep. So this has been Triple Bypass. I'm James.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Tiara.
I'm Amal.
And Tony.
And this has been Triple Bypass on a Tuesday night. See you next week.
Your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, your big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. Somebody better put your bag into your place. We will rock you. Sing it. We will rock you. Everybody, we will
for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.